Kringle Talks Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network. You can find all of our episodes on ChristmasPodcastNetwork.com and follow us on Twitter at Christmas Talks. That's KRISTMAS Talks. This is our new Christmas episode. Sit back, grab a hot drink, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Kringle Talks Christmas.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Kringle Talks Christmas Podcast.
This episode, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome on the godfather of Christmas podcasts, the man from Christmas past. It's Brian L. Welcome to Kringle Talks Christmas, and thank you for being on.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I've been looking forward to this.
So before we get into the episode, I'd just like to say a quick thank you properly, because you helped me set up in the podcasting world. Pretty much from the very start, obviously initially, people don't know, I did a separate podcasting about sports, etc. And I was emailing you, asking you questions, how to get started, what I would need, etc., etc. So I just want to say from the start, thank you very much. And it's been very much appreciated.
Oh, sure. And happy to do it. I mean, we're, you know, if there's something about the Christmas podcasting community is that we all like to stick together and share our Christmas spirit and help other podcasts get out there. Because, you know, when new podcasts come out, that's more for me to listen to and everyone else too. And, you know, what I'm always struck by is just how wide and deep Christmas is as a topic. You're never going to cover it all. And there are so many people that bring their own perspective to it. You know, there are people who do deep dives on the history of Christmas foods, and some people who talk a little bit more general. Of course, there's lots and lots of people who focus on the Christmas movies. I mean, there's something for everyone, and each new voice adds to the chorus. So I am more than happy to help anybody who wants to start a Christmas podcast become part of this vibrant and festive community.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that, because I try to listen to as much as I can, and I always find myself download an episode and then struggling to get through it because I've got so many I listen through. And obviously I listen to various different podcasts in sports, etc. as well. So I'm like trying to work out how I can listen to them and, you know, get on with my day to day activities.
It's like with those Hallmark Channel movies, you know, you're spoiled for choice. There are so many, you can't possibly get through them all, but that's a good problem to have. You pick your time wisely, especially during the holiday season. You have only so much energy and attention, and, you know, the ones that bubble up to the top are the ones that you're going to enjoy.
Absolutely. I find, especially over here in the UK, obviously, we don't get the Hallmark Channel, which is quite annoying. We usually have it on it's Channel 5 over here. And it's kind of like, it's kind of nostalgic in a way, because we have it on in the background while stuff's happening. And usually I tend anyway, my wife will disagree, but I always usually tend to sort of walk in the room whilst doing something, look at the TV and go, oh, this is quite interesting. And I usually sit down for the next hour and a half just watching it and then procrastinating the rest of my duties. So yeah, it's definitely, like you say, it's definitely one of those things. But yeah, we'll get into this. How is your Christmas season going? Is it Christmas season yet for you, or do we get things given out the way?
American Thanksgiving seems to be the delineation point for a lot of people. They don't properly start celebrating until after Thanksgiving. Those who play Christmas music or watch Christmas movies before that are considered, you know, just be getting too much of an early jump on things. Although I think as a culture, that's starting to change. You start to see Christmas items for sale in some of the stores over the summer. And of course, the Hallmark Channel starts their countdown to Christmas around Halloween. And all of this is profit driven, of course. There's an economic incentive for doing so, but I think more and more Americans are getting used to the idea of the Christmas season starting quite a bit earlier. Now, people like you and me, or certainly me perhaps, really think of September as the beginning, the ramp up, the quote unquote burr month, those months ending in BER as an extended holiday season. With that said, it's not as though on September 1st I'm putting up the Christmas tree. I mean, even someone like me can get too much of a good thing too quickly. So September is when I start ramping things up slowly. I might play the odd Christmas song here and there, put up a decoration or two. But then I also have another demarcation point in my year, which is my son's birthday, which is in early November. It's November 7th. And I'm not allowed to put up any Christmas decorations in the house or put up the tree until after that. And so here in America, we have Veterans Day, which tends to be the Friday after my son's birthday, where we honor fallen veterans. And then that is now more or less my official start to the Christmas season. So that was just 2 weeks ago today. Or close to it, rather. And so our decorations have been up for quite some time now. The Christmas season is well underway, but the only thing I haven't started yet is my shopping, so I need to get on that.
Yeah, so I think for Veterans Day, we have Remembrance Sunday, which is the same, pretty much remembered worldwide. And yeah, I've been given strict instructions to get the Christmas decorations out tomorrow, as I have a day off tomorrow from work, by my wife to get them started. I tend to listen to and watch Christmas films or listen to Christmas music kind of all throughout. Even if I'm on vacation, I'm on the beach somewhere trying to get a suntan, I'm listening to some sort of Christmas music, not the whole way through, but every now and then something slips on and I'm like, okay, I'm happy with this because it gives me that little sort of warm, fuzzy Christmas feeling. So,
and I get the same thing. People who are listening can't see what you're seeing right now, but behind me is a piano, and I play piano not very well, but it's a nice hobby of mine. And most of what I try to play is Christmas music. So I suppose in a way I'm listening to Christmas music throughout the year, but it's really more a listening to myself just being a terrible, terrible amateur pianist.
To be fair, I've got about two or three Christmas films downloaded onto my phone, which I take with me everywhere, and also a Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby Christmas special. I'm gonna get this really wrong. I think it's 1957, but it could be a lot later than that. I'm not too sure. But they did a Christmas special. It's about 25, 26 minutes, and I sort of every few months just recycle that. It's just one of those that I watch.
Is that the one with the dancing snowman who comes up to them on a park bench?
No, this is the one where, so they're in, I think it's in Frank Sinatra's apartment in New York, I believe. And then they go out Christmas caroling with a bunch of folk. It feels like an old sort of English quintessential Christmas. It's quite funny. They leave their apartment with just their sort of with their suits on. They walk off with the carolers. And then the next scene, they're in their big jackets and top hats. Continuity didn't include those days. but it's just one of those where I watch it and it's just a brilliant start to the Christmas season for us. I know obviously you sort of start your Christmas podcasting season around that time. You have your sort of episodes potentially appearing throughout the year. So just wanted to get into sort of your podcasting journey, if that's all right.
Sure.
Go for it.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what made you decide to start Christmas Bards Podcast?
It was really that I went looking for a podcast like the one that I ended up creating. I kind of like to listen to NPR style podcasts. I don't know if you probably don't have NPR in the UK. I guess BBC would be a pretty good example or good parallel. It was in September of 2015 when I went checking my podcast app and said, I wonder if there's like NPR for Christmas. And what I mean specifically by that is they would do these nerdy deep dives on a topic and really, really make you, they were very eye-opening. You learn something, but also be entertained because there's a particular listening experience that combines storytelling and a bit of sound design and just the way that things were told and delivered. And I said, I really hope something like that might exist for Christmas. And again, this was September, so it was my slow ramp up. That was one of the ways I was hoping to ease into the Christmas season. And back in 2015, there were not very many Christmas podcasts at all. I mean, maybe a dozen or less even. There was The Christmas Stocking by Lee Cameron, which I still think is one of the best, even though he stopped producing episodes in 2018. And a couple churches that put out their sermons as Christmas podcasts and a couple like Celtic Christmas music podcasts, but the landscape was really sparse. And so I said to myself, well, I can't be the only person who'd be interested in something like this. And so maybe I'll just have a go at making that thing myself. So it wasn't as though I wanted to start a podcast and I was in search of the right topic, or, you know, a lot of people start podcasts because they needed to promote their business or some other thing that they're doing. I just went looking for something. And when it didn't exist, I decided to make it myself. And the problem that I had was that I really had no business creating a podcast like this, because I always jump at the chance to say this, that I'm not presenting myself to the world as an historian or any kind of academic or any subject matter expert. I have no expertise on this subject matter. And, you know, moreover, I'm not a journalist. I'm not a writer. I'm a software designer here in Silicon Valley. I didn't even own a microphone, but I had a really clear vision for what I was trying to create. And that's really what I bring to the table. Because I'm not a subject matter expert, I go to the subject matter experts. I do a lot of research. And then I think what I offer that's new and different is that I package it into a very particular and stylized listening experience that combines storytelling, music, and then input from listeners, where you get all of that. You go through this whole backstory behind a Christmas tradition, but you also feel like you're being taken on a narrative journey, if I'm doing my job right, and then get your Christmas warm and fuzzy feelings. And all of that happens within a 10 or 15 minute episode. So my episodes are very short, and they're meant to be, because the idea is, you know, you can listen to it in the time it takes you to drive to the store to do some shopping, in the time it takes you to wrap one or two presents. You can really just pick and choose them throughout the season. So, you know, we were talking before about other podcasts, and sometimes you have trouble fitting them into your schedule. Well, a lot of podcasts are, you know, it's like an hour long interview. That's a lot to put in. I'm not saying that as a criticism of other podcasts, but that is a reality for podcast listeners, that if you're budgeting your time, an hour or an hour and a half long form interview versus something that's, you know, just a quick hit of Christmas cheer, it's just a different set of options.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I myself obviously just started out fresh last year in the Christmas podcasting world. And I've kind of taken a leaf out of your book in a sense, trying to focus mainly on UK topics and some European sort of Scandinavian ones, which are a bit more closer to my heart. But I similarly to yourself try to produce them very short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Where, like you said, you can listen to them to the store. You can even listen to them whilst you're having a bath, for instance. And they're again, because some of the podcasts I listen to, they're like, 1 hour and a half long, or, you know, nearly up to an hour. And like you say, I find myself listening to a podcast, breaking it up, trying to listen to it a bit more. And I sometimes don't always finish it. So I completely get where you're coming from in terms of trying to keep them short and sweet, because that's what I do myself. In reference to sort of going back to the start, I mean, when I first started looking for Christmas podcasts myself, the one that kept coming up was the Christmas Stocking. Now, I must admit, I haven't actually listened to any of the episodes because, as you mentioned, it ended in 2018. So I was always looking for new, see if he was bringing out any more episodes, and it wasn't. So in a way, I might actually go back and listen from the very start, because I haven't actually listened to a single one of his episodes. But obviously, listen to yourself. Your style is definitely the most unique. I find, obviously, myself trying to not copy it in a sense, but trying to bring a difference from a UK perspective. So for that, again, I can say thanks for introducing me to sort of not the storytelling aspect, but in a way, a storytelling aspect.
Yeah. And I think it's, if you listen to the way that I do the episodes, you'll notice there's a small handful of techniques that I use again and again. You know, normally there's an introduction section where I either tell you an anecdote, or I drop you right into the middle of a conversation I'm having with someone, and then I come in with voiceover and kind of add context to it. And then those usually end after a couple of minutes, where I say, "I'm Brian Earle, this is Christmas Past." And then we go back to the beginning. It's in radio terms, they call this an E-shaped story. If you imagine drawing a lowercase e, the line starts moving from left to right and then loops back around and goes back to the beginning. And that's kind of the thing I use over and over again. There's a little bit of overlap between what I was doing and what the Christmas Stocking was doing. And part of what helped shape my style was that I really wanted to be conscious that I wasn't imitating anything else that existed already. The one thing I did take from Lee Cameron and his podcast was that I had never seen a podcast before where the episodes were also short, like 10 or 15 minutes long. That's what told me, like, oh, this is okay. You can have a really short podcast. And in fact, you know, Lee and I went back and forth with him. He helped me get set up. We correspond every now and then these days since he stopped doing the podcast. So I'm always grateful to him, because they probably wouldn't have been Christmas Past were it not for some of his early help.
Wonderful stuff. I was going to ask as well, obviously, because you've covered a whole host of different topics, including loads of different UK traditions. Yep. Do you have, off the top of your head, your best topics that you have done an episode on?
The ones, well, there's a lot of ways to answer that question. I think the one that I really delved into the deepest and that I'm the happiest with how I was able to put everything together was probably the original three-part series on Santa Claus, the first three episodes that I ever released. You know, remember, like, the episodes are supposed to be short, and so I leave a lot on the cutting room floor. The idea is, what can I take out and still have the structure hold together as something? I know that I'm not presenting the definitive history or definitive backstory. Again, all I'm trying to do is create a listening experience that, you know, it holds enough together to make you feel like you've learned something and that you've been entertained. There are other episodes that surprise me in that there's a lot of Christmas history that's surprising. And in some cases, the surprises come from odd directions. Now, here's one example. I've had Alonzo Duralde, a film critic and author, on a handful of times now. And we did one on Christmas in Connecticut, which is a fairly popular American Christmas movie from the 40s. I don't think it's anyone's favorite Christmas movie. But in the conversation, he was saying, you know, when this movie was made, there was really no such thing as a Christmas movie. And you say, well, how can that be? It's a Christmas movie. How could it be that there weren't Christmas movies? Because also from that era is when other movies like A Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life came out. And he said, well, sure, but think about it. If watching Christmas movies is a tradition for you, how are you doing that? You're watching them on the television. And that didn't come out until 1950. It's not as though prior to television, movie theaters would run the same movie every season and that you would have a tradition of going with your family to the movie theater to watch those movies. It was only when television came along that the idea of the Christmas movie could even be a thing, and that those movies that came out in the theaters then became shown on television, and that's when the tradition was born. And I even talk about this in the book to some extent, talking about some of those classic Christmas movies like Miracle on 34th Street, which was released in the summer, because that's when people went to the movies most often. I couldn't imagine that today. And I don't have to not imagine it, because it never happens. There's no such thing as a movie that comes out in July or August that would feature any kind of Christmas symbolism.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 100%. I mean, obviously now we have the Hallmark Channel, which, like, year on year, they're trying to one-up themselves from the previous year. So they're always trying to do one extra. Obviously, Netflix have started to bring out their own. I know Apple TV are bringing out the Spirited Christmas film this year with Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. So, yeah, now I think you're so inundated with so many Christmas films that the Christmas film tradition is such a thing, like, whereas previous it wasn't. So, yeah, in regards to the episode you did on the sort of the mini three-part series, I remember listening to them, obviously the first very start, and in fairness they are still my favorite. Every now and then I still go back and listen to them, because it's just, again, it's the sort of nostalgia you get behind listening to them. I remember, I think it was during lockdown, it might have been actually, I did a sort of from the very start of Tim Babb's Can't Wait for Christmas, from episode one all the way through. Every day I used to go to work and I just went all the way through, and I eventually caught up by the time sort of the new episodes were coming out month on month. So every now and then I get into that sort of weird geeky stage of just sort of going through podcasts and listening to stuff. So what I was going to say was as well, how, because I find it quite difficult myself, I mean, that we're relatively still fresh in the game, how do you think of your topics to discuss for your episodes? Because I always think of episodes. I sort of write them down as what I'd like to discuss. And then I try and go through some research and I'm saying, well, there's not a lot to talk about that one. So I sort of scrap it and put it in the back burner. How do you come across your topics?
Well, I'm glad you asked the question that way and not the way that I've been getting it recently when I do episodes like this, which is, aren't you worried you're going to run out of topics? Because my stock answer to that is impossible. I won't live long enough to cover everything that I want to cover. And I think, you know, people look at, when they think of the limited set, quote unquote, of Christmas topics, they just look at Christmas as we celebrate it today, where there's, you know, I don't know, a few dozen things that populate Christmas, the music and the lights and the gifts and the this and the that. But, you know, remember, Christmas is a 2000 odd year old history behind it. And there's a lot of stuff to cover. So when it comes to picking a topic, I mean, you're right. First and foremost, you have to make sure there's enough meat on the bone. And there are some topics that I would love to cover, like, for example, the Christmas stocking, the idea of hanging a stocking and filling it with gifts. But there's really not a ton to say about it. I mean, there's a bit of an origin story there, et cetera, but there's, at least so far in my research, I haven't found enough to shape that into a story. In other times, there is just far too much to try to cover. And that's when I either have to break it up or maybe turn it into a theme. I'm doing that this year, where every week I'm putting out 3 episodes a week, and each week all 3 of those episodes fall into a specific theme. So week 1 of the Christmas season is Christmas tree week. I'm doing one about the history of Christmas trees, artificial and aluminum Christmas trees, the Rockefeller Center tree, which here in the States, in New York City, there's this large tree at Rockefeller Center, which is more or less considered the national Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Well, there's an actual national Christmas tree, but I'm saying culturally, it's the Christmas. New York is the cultural epicenter of Christmas in the States.
Yeah, we apologies.
I'm saying, so first and foremost, you know, what I'm trying to do is there's a backlog of common Christmas traditions that I know I need to cover. But the first step is always to make sure that there is enough of a story there. A good place to start is, you know, Wikipedia, not because I want to read the Wikipedia page, but I want to see what references they're pointing to so I can go to primary sources. And by primary sources, I mean reading those books and then reaching out to the authors. So that's really the second step, is once I've identified a topic, I need to not just read to you what I read on the internet, right? There's no value in that. And to be honest, there are other people who've already done that for me, right? I'm trying to bring something a little bit different and at least create the impression that I'm doing a bit of reporting on some of these things. So the second step is always I need to find the most highly qualified expert that I can. And the good news for me is that, you know, because Christmas is something that's always evolving, that there are people who have created significant parts of Christmas history who are still alive today, and that you can talk to them. And here's a case in point. I don't know if you have these in the UK, but in the States, around Halloween or so, on the store shelves, you get these large metal canisters filled with 3 different flavors of popcorn. Do you have those?
No, we don't actually. That sounds very interesting.
There's, you know, caramel flavored popcorn, and then butter, and then cheddar cheese flavored. And that's, you know, inside the tin, there's a little divider that separates the flavors, and the outside is very decoratively embossed, you know, and printed with some kind of festive design. And I've always wondered this, but why? What is it with popcorn? I mean, popcorn and Christmas, I mean, I'm sure they go together in the same way that cheese and crackers might go with Christmas. Yeah. There's nothing especially Christmassy about these, except for the fact that you can't escape them whenever you go to the store. What's the story behind that? Well, it turns out that the story behind it is just this one guy who owns a popcorn factory or a popcorn business in Kansas City, who's still alive. And I talked to him this season. I tell the whole story. You'll have to listen to the episode to hear it. But there's a whole story behind it, and there's always a surprise. So this one had to do with just some creative recycling and reuse of stuff that happened to go alongside running a popcorn business. But those are the things I'm always looking for. So again, as I'm researching a story and trying to shape it, I'm always trying to look for the things that are surprising and delightful. If my episode felt like I was just giving you an information dump, then I haven't done my job.
Yeah.
And again, the storytelling aspect that I bring, if you listen carefully to the way that I do these things, I'm always saving the surprising pieces of information to use as almost like little punchlines or payoffs to things that I've set up earlier. That to me is the basic rule of storytelling, is set something up and then pay it off. Set something up and then pay it off. That's like capture your interest and satisfy your interest over and over again to string you along through an episode.
Yeah, no, and I find, I mean, this is a sort of personal admission where I feel like I've been quite guilty of that myself in terms of finding a sort of an article about a topic and essentially just reading off it. And I found that myself where I sort of listened back afterwards and gone, oh, that didn't really sound that great. My researching in terms of certain topics has just been so difficult to get to. That I find myself finding the first sort of articles, etc., and then going with it. And then, like I said, realizing afterwards, actually, that probably wasn't the greatest idea. Maybe I should have scrapped that.
And it's funny you mentioned that you're a true creator for saying something like that, because we're never satisfied with what we do.
No,
I look
absolutely.
Back and cringe at every single episode I've ever put out, but that's what keeps me hungry to keep this thing growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned about the Christmas stocking, I've got it on my notes as to all my different episodes that I'm looking at doing. I've got all the ones that I have definitely got some sort of content for. And then I've got Christmas stocking, ? Because like you say, there is not a lot to go for. And even the London Christmas tree. So obviously you have the Rockefeller Center one, and we've got the London Christmas tree, which comes in usually from Norway. Sometimes it comes in from Germany, depends on who pays more essentially, or who's benefiting the most. But I've just actually, funny enough, looked back at the sort of timeline of that podcast, and that episode was actually my shortest one, because again, there's not real history behind that. So going into as well, next one, do you have like sort of any British traditions in the US? Because I know I've just recorded actually my episode on the Christmas cracker, and obviously I emailed you regarding that. Mm-hmm. About, because I think you spoke to
Peter Kimpton. Yeah,
yes, and I've actually emailed him myself as well, and I didn't realize he was 81. I didn't realize sort of how getting on he is. I'm not going to say the word old, because that's not the word, but just sort of how getting on he is in terms of that. But what sort of British traditions do you have over in the States? Because I know you said that the Christmas cracker sort of never really caught on in America as much.
It's strange, because so much of the American experience of Christmas is heavily informed by the British Christmas. I mean, even the Christmas tree, which is a German tradition, but came to us via, you know, Charlotte marrying into the British family, and then eventually, that's what brought it into the British royal family, but it wasn't really popular until Prince Albert brought it into Windsor Castle, etc. But then we started reflecting that right around the time that Queen Victoria was very famously pictured in Godey's Women's Magazine with a Christmas tree. I think it was either that year or the following year that Franklin Pierce, our president, had the first Christmas tree at the White House, our government center. So a lot of those traditions, you know, holly and ivy, and a lot of the Christmas carols are a big part of American Christmas, as are all of the other ones that sort of came in with the Dutch, with the German, who were all concentrated in the Northeast around New York. So we had this great melding of immigrant traditions. And I think what happened there, and this is around, you know, the late 19th, early 20th century, is that there had to have been some kind of filtering process where so many traditions were coming together at the same time that everything couldn't stick. And for some reason, the Christmas tree stuck. We adopted, you know, again, like fruitcake is mostly a British thing. I mean, fruitcake had been around Europe for a long, long time. I think it was the Victorians that turned it into the current version, the one that's doused with alcohol and the current kind of preparation for it. And Americans adopted that for a while. And then all of a sudden, in the mid-20th century, it became fashionable to hate and you know, kind of like joke about hating fruitcake. And it's a strange thing, because we still have it, but it's the kind of tradition that we love to hate. Yeah. But then there are other traditions that never caught on. Like, most people in America don't make a steamed pudding. I do. I made one last Sunday, and I've been feeding. I'm going to give it its first feeding tomorrow. I think I'll give it a full three as per tradition. So I'll eat it close to Christmas week. But Christmas crackers, again, you go to a specialty shop, you might see a couple in the back corner, but they're just not part of Christmas around here. And for me, I feel like I've often wondered aloud, is it better that those remain as something that feels almost exotic? Because then there's a different experience of opening up a Christmas cracker if it's something commonplace versus something that feels like, oh, I'm getting a glimpse into the way that, you know, the other parts of the world celebrate Christmas. We don't have Panto here, right? I know Panto's huge over in the UK. You get a little bit. We have a celebration here in the Bay Area that recreates Victorian London Christmas. It's kind of like this immersive experience called the Great Dickens Christmas Fair. And in that, they have some Panto performances that you can see. But, yeah, you know, around here, if you go to the theater, you're going to see a production of the Nutcracker Ballet and not a Panto. So it's interesting because there's a lot that I feel like most Americans are missing out on. Even my own family, I'll bring Christmas crackers to the family celebration and they kind of look at me cross-eyed and I say, well, have a go. It's fun. You know, we'll take out the paper crowns and we'll read the little jokes to one another. I feel like every place is going to have their own, family traditions, regional traditions. So not everything makes it through.
Yeah, I think in the UK at the moment, we're heavily influenced by the German Christmas markets at the moment. So we have Winter Wonderland over here in the UK in London's Hyde Park, and it is essentially a giant German Christmas market. We've also in the stores here, I don't know if you have them over in the States, they're the little sort of Santa figures. They're called Tomte, which is like little Scandinavian Santa looking thing. They look like doorstops essentially, but they're everywhere at the moment. And then you get the sort of taller Santa figurines, which I happily admit I have about 6 or 7. But they again just heavily influenced by different Scandinavian traditions. So I feel like we all have our own different traditions that we've sort of pulled away from other countries, and I think it kind of just what makes our Christmas essentially, because growing up obviously we didn't have any of that. We didn't really have the influence of the US or any of that. We just sort of had our own. I mean, even going to Christmas songs, you know, we don't have your traditional Christmas carols that I mean, when I listen to a different podcast and they talk about their top 10 Christmas songs, none of them are songs that I listen to during the Christmas period, and I'm like, well, how come that song's not on there, or how come that one's not there? And then I remember these are all British Christmas songs, and that's why they haven't always sort of entered into the sort of top genres, really.
Yeah, and I think with something like the Christmas pudding, I could at least maybe see that part of the reason it didn't catch on is maybe just different tastes or something like that. But then there are other things like the snowman. I mean, Raymond Briggs's The Snowman just isn't a big thing over here. And you would imagine like, well, any cartoon at all, kids are going to love. I can't imagine something like that wouldn't catch on. And it's not as though there's anything especially British about it. I mean, you don't even hear characters talking during it. And so, but as far as I understand in the UK, that's just everyone gathers around the TV for The Snowman.
Wonderful one. I'm going to sort of wrap it up because I've got sort of my daughter's in the other room playing. So, okay. So I'm just going to leave you last sort of question. And I think you have answered this in the past, but I'll ask again anyway. How long does Christmas past have left? How long are you planning on going for it? And is there an end game?
I will not live long enough to cover all of the topics that I want to cover. I set a goal when I started out. Well, when I started out, I said I was going to do this for at least one season and see how it goes. And that first season, I got feedback unlike anything I had ever expected. And I said, okay, I think I'm on to something. Yeah. And so at that time, I promised myself I would do at least 10 seasons. But then, and so this is season number 7. But then along the way, a couple things happened where, you know, my audience kind of grew to a point where I said to myself, I think I'm ready to actually expand Christmas past, you know, like whatever the next thing is. I'm not sure what it is yet, but whatever that next thing is, I'm ready for it. And then it turned out that it was the book. And so now the book has been out since November 1st, and even it is doing far better than I would have expected. And so now I've got it in my mind, there's probably going to be another book or even something else. I mean, this is the kind of thing where the podcast, I feel like, will always be the podcast. I'm never not changing the core offering, but I really think that now we can sort of start to expand. And I hate to use the word, you know, like the brand. It sounds pretentious to refer to yourself or certainly a small podcast as having a brand, but I think it's the best word that I have to describe, you know, my particular brand of Christmas. I think there are just other ways that I can put that out there. So I'm looking forward to all of that.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I'm not going to ask people where they can find you, because if they don't know where to find you by now, then they're listening to the wrong genre of a podcast.
Fair enough.
But obviously you've mentioned the Christmas past book, and I haven't got it yet, but I have put it on my
Secret Santa wish list.
Oh, lovely.
Put it this way. If somebody doesn't buy it for me, then I will be buying it for myself. Let's just say
okay.
That. Where can they buy the book? Obviously I'll put the link in the show notes. Where can they sort of purchase the book from, if they're sort of from the UK or wherever?
Yeah, well, as they say, at fine booksellers everywhere. It's on all of your favorite online places. Amazon's the obvious place. I have heard that there might be trouble shipping it out to people in time for Christmas, depending on when you're hearing this episode. I've also heard from some of my listeners that they had luck going to their local shop and asking if they could do a special order. Because those, when your shop orders it, they're not getting it from Amazon. And I think it's just a quicker route to get it. I've heard from people in Australia and Ireland who've done that, and they've gotten their book in plenty of time.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Cool. So what I'll do is we'll leave it there. Obviously, you have your Christmas season. You started the Christmas season. Obviously, listened to the first couple of episodes. What is, just as we sort of wrap it up, what is to be expected of this Christmas season? I mean, I know you mentioned themes, but anything else, or is it mainly the themes this season?
That's it. We have four different themes. So first week is Christmas Tree Week. Second week is British Week. The third week is Music Week. And the fourth and final is Food Week.
Oh, brilliant. Wonderful stuff. So I will definitely be looking forward to listening to them. So appreciate once again, that. I thank you very much for coming onto the podcast and sharing your insight into the podcasting world. And once again, thank you for introducing me into it, because without yourself and without other podcasts, I wouldn't be doing this. So thank you very much.
Yeah, well, certainly appreciate the invite, and I'll wish you and all your listeners a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, and a Merry Christmas to you as well.
That's it for this Christmas special episode. My sit down with Brian Earl from the Christmas Past podcast. Once again, huge thank you to Brian for agreeing to come onto the podcast and sitting down and doing this interview. You can find him on all his social medias. Twitter, he is at Xmas Past Podcast. On Instagram, Christmas Past Official. And you can also join his Facebook page, Christmas Past, on there as well, and get involved in the group like I am. And also, as mentioned earlier, his Christmas Past Official book. Gift it for someone for the Christmas holidays. It'd be a perfect gift for somebody. I'll put a link in the show notes for the description where you can find it. Also, again, on the Christmas Podcast Network, we are both on there, a whole host of Christmas podcasts from around the world, including his and also mine. So once again, guys, thank you very much for listening. This is Christmas Past. Christmas. Oh, it's not even Christmas Past. He's Christmas Past. I'm Gringle Talks Christmas. I'm Chris Gringle. Merry Christmas, guys. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.